Fix the old fuse box. Only Mr. Pixie. You need some special service.
I can do it all.
I wanna grease your bearings. Make them hold just right. Loosen up your pulleys. You got them way too tight. Gonna make a few adjustments, baby. It's gonna take all night. I wanna check your pressure. You need your pressure. Only Mr. Pitchin. I'm the one to call. We need some special service.
I can do it all.
Live from atop 601 Bangs Avenue, right in the heart of downtown Asbury Park, New Jersey, USA, it's Restore by the Shore, the show dedicated to bringing you the ideas and the people who are helping this city to rise from ruin. And now your host, who knows how to ask all those many questions, the astounding and unpredictable Maureen Mad Dog Nevin.
Can you believe it?
And here is Maureen Mad Dog Nevin.
You get worse every week.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to Restore by the Shore. And now we're atop the guest building, 601 Bangs Avenue, in beautiful downtown Asbury Park. And can you see the ocean tonight?
It's warm out there. No, actually it's very foggy.
Fog. In fact, Pete Walton has a warning up on his site about unpredictable weather. Something could happen.
Yeah, there was a report. Yeah,
it's a tornado watch.
It is a notice. For a tornado watch.
All right. We have a big important show tonight here. We'll be talking about, once again, about restoration in Asbury Park. Bob Stevens is going to be taking the phone calls from people.
Yep.
And lining them up.
This is a call-in show. If you want to call in,
uh-huh.
You can punch those buttons, 775-0821 or 775-6203 right here on 88.1 WYGG.
And that area code, of course, you have to use that now, 732. Okay. I have a couple of announcements before I do the sponsors. Let's see. DOA cleanup, very important, May 11th, the week from this Saturday. Please call 732-291-5304. And that's the local chapter of the Monmouth County Friends of Clearwater. And there's a Mother's Day breakfast that the American Legion Post 523 is holding on May 12th, which, as we all know, is Mother's Day.
And so bring your mom.
My first daughter was born on Mother's Day. Well, actually, it was a Monday right after Mother's Day. Close enough.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So sometimes her birthday is Mother's Day.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, Sunday, May 12th, 8:30 to 10:30 a.m., the Ballard Church, 4th Avenue, Asbury Park. Donation only $5. Children get in for $2.50. Not bad for breakfast.
And where do we call?
You don't call.
Or just show, go to the show up at the door.
Mother's Day breakfast.
Okay.
All right. Now, there's a terminally ill woman who has two beloved, beautiful, full-grown cats, and she needs homes for them. So if you would call the station, and we'll take your name and we'll pass it along to her, that's 775-0821, or call me at home, Maureen Nevin at home, 774-0779. Got to get a home for those cats. The New Jersey Repertory Ticket Giveaway. I don't know if you're aware of this, Bob. We're giving away tickets to the Lumina Theater tonight.
That's in Long Branch, isn't it?
That's right. It's a very good theater, by the way. And they're having a performance this week of The Dead Boy. Actually, it's going to go on until June 9th, but the free tickets are for this weekend. And we'll be... The Dead Boy is about... Actually, it's a very, very timely theme. It's a new drama by Joe Pintoro, author of Raft of the Medusa, which was fabulous. I don't know how many people here tonight got to see that last year. That was with George Eric, a local fella, who I'm sure most of people assembled here tonight know. It's actually about, it focuses on a Catholic priest who finds himself at the center of a sex scandal. Even though it's been on the schedule, you know, they're not just exploiting the problems that are going on right now. It's been on the schedule for the whole year, but certainly it's very topical now. But if you will, let's see, what we're going to do is I will be giving away two pairs of tickets for Saturday night. The show starts at 8 o'clock, and the first pair will go to the first caller from Asbury Park, because we're kind of partial. But you have to mention the contest. You have to say, I'm calling for the theater tickets, the Lumina Theater tickets.
And you'll be in the running.
Someone's calling for the cell phone. Everyone in this room is exempt, because I would have had my free ticket.
775-0821. The lines are now open.
All right. And then later on, we'll be doing maybe we'll have any caller later on. Okay. But this is the first one has to be from Asbury Park. And let's see, Notes to Myself, Jim Celestino, Andy McDonough, and the rest of the guys are going to be at McLoon. Wonderful. They've been on the show before. They're going to be at McLoon's again on May 17th, and they'll be doing originals. Go to their home site, notestomyself.home.att.net. And Cheryl Parker has been up to
Cheryl's again. Back in the area.
Yeah. May 31st, she's going to be at the Marina Stage in Red Bank at the Jazz and Blues Festival. And she's going on at 5 o'clock. She's putting on an all-woman jazz band. And she's going to have a salute to great women and great women radio hosts.
I guess of the big band era.
What do you think she has in mind?
Certainly radio not you. No. Ooh.
Yes, that was a drum on Bob's head. But if you want to get in touch with her, oh God, is it Cheryl Parker dot oh blazes. Anyway, send us an email, I'll forward it to Cheryl. Send it to go on Restore Radio and drop us a line, restoreradio.com.
And that's in Marine Park?
Yeah.
In Red Bank?
Yeah,
what's
in Red Bank.
The date on that?
That's May 31.
May 31st, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, that's Friday night, so she's a little bit worried. That's actually the week after, isn't it? Memorial Day is like the weekend before. But we want to thank our sponsors, Rich New, the downtown Asbury Park merchants. Like, what kind of music are you going to give me?
I don't know.
Taking a heck of a chance here. Etc. has Asbury Park logo products, hilarious cards, candles, even unusual music, etc. at 653 Cookman Avenue and on RestoreRadio.com. There's a distinctive world just off beautiful Wesley Lake. Visit owner Chris Sanchez at etc. 653 Cookman Ave. And web streaming of Restore by the Shore is brought to you by AsburyPark.net. Your source for Asbury Park news and information 24 hours a day.
World-renowned.
You can also reach AsburyPark.net from our site. That's www.restoreradio.com. And AsburyPark.net is with us tonight. Pete Walton is with us. The hardware store, Asbury Park's very own hardware store, has everything you need for restoring that garden that has been through a long, dry winter. Flower and grass seeds and fertilizers and plant food. And expert instruction on all of your outdoor planting needs. The hardware store at 428 Main Street and opposite the Superfood Town Shopping Center in Neptune City. The quiet simplicity of the room, blue tints on the hangings, furniture, and carpet, served at this hour of night to invest everything with a delightful vagueness of cloudland. Only a designer with the skill of Louis Navarette could create a mood to rival Emile Zola's A Love Episode. Reach Louis at From House to Home, 721 Cookman Avenue, Asbury Park. Call Louis at 732-869-1231 or write fromhousetohome@aol.com. Okay. And we want to thank those sponsors. And if you want to become a sponsor, drop us a line at restore881fm@aol.com.
Very good.
For 2 weeks, the planning board had the job of reviewing the draft waterfront redevelopment plan and ultimately making its opinions. And according to Pete Walton, 64 recommendations. You must have counted them all up.
64.
approximately 64 recommendations and making them known to the Asbury Park City Council. The council is currently reviewing those recommendations, which you can read on asburypark.net or by obtaining a copy from City Hall. I want to thank our guests for coming out tonight. They are Planning Board Chairman Ben Schneider, City Council Member John Lafredo, who is one of the council reps on the Planning Board, Planning Board Member Harold Suggs, sitting here to my left, and representing the spectators, the only observer to make it through to the finish line in this two-week ordeal, Pete Walton of AsburyPark.net.
Probably the most well-informed spectator.
You bet. And I'm sure Pete has lots of opinions, most of which I hope we'll get to hear tonight. But I was only there for one night, so I'm going to really lean on Pete as a source of information. If you have questions for any of our guests, please call 732-775-0821. Is that right, Master Pete? Okay. 775-0821.
And 775-6203.
Yeah, it's easier, I think, for people to remember one.
Okay, just call 0821.
One number. What I admire even more than the sheer endurance of the board going through all of this is the fact that the planning board members examined every aspect of the new draft waterfront development plan and compared each aspect against the 1991 waterfront redevelopment plan, the 1994 land use element, the 1990 historic preservation element, the 1998 recreation and conservation plan element, and the 1988 and 2001 housing plan sub element.
That's a book and a half.
No wonder you guys have worn out. On top of that, you've made your own calls, and for example, the convention hall, the casino, should not be sold but leased to the redeveloper so that the city can retain ownership, that the boardwalk pavilions be rehabbed rather than demolished, that the Howard Johnson's building be restored, existing uses continue, and the Arthur Pryor Pavilion be maintained for its continued use, which is close to our heart spot.
Absolutely.
We left those outdoor concerts before the place got too unsafe to occupy.
Now you have to fly up there now.
Yes. And
put a ladder up against the building, I guess. I don't know.
Is their recommendations about the pavilion or the whole Howard Johnson's building differ from the draft plan? So there were no specifications for what to do with that building in the plan, but you guys decided to put your thoughts forward. Now, my question for all of you, John Alfredo, Ben Schneider, Pete Walton, and Harold Suggs, all the way to my left here. Assuming that the council approves your recommendations, when people look at Asbury Park many years from now, where will the stamp of this planning board be seen or felt for $64 million?
Yeah,
answer this
question. Not a trick question.
Who wants to go first?
Well, you're saying stamp as far as what, permanence?
Yeah, what difference
well, that
would,
that would
you guys
depends.
Have made?
Well, that actually depends on whether or not the council takes the suggestions.
But assuming that they do.
The biggest stamp for us would probably be the C8 building.
Yeah,
coming down. You know, there are other things as far as Wesley Lake and that, but they wouldn't have the effect on the morale of the people in this city as the coming down, as the taking down of that building.
I'd agree with that. Ben, what's your call?
I'd agree with Councilman Lafredo with regard to the C8. I was thinking more in broad strokes with regard to answering your question. I was going to say that this planning board, our stamp on the city would be the fact that the painstaking detail that everyone on the board spent going over the details of all of the documents that you read off earlier.
And just it's amazing.
Just the amount of time and energy that was expended. It wasn't always fun. Tempers got short at times, but everyone had the same goal, and that was to provide to the mayor and council the best report that we could do within the 45 days that we were given to do it.
Okay. Now let me go to Harold. We're going to skip past Pete here.
Yes, skip.
this is the planning board members himself.
He's writing notes for the next.
Well, actually, from my perspective, I think the stamp will be
realizing what the board recommended as opposed to what their plan suggested.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great
mm-hmm.
difference. For me, the plan is not conducive to, it's not in alignment with what I think Asbury Park residents expect the plan to be. But again, you have to understand that the plan was put together by people who are looking to make money. And with that being the case, they have a different perspective on what the city should look like as opposed to what its residents think it should be. For me, the biggest issue it will be not only that, which I've already mentioned, but certainly the density level. There's a grave building on top of buildings, on top of property and so forth, that it really is an issue where the developers are looking to build so they can make as much money as they possibly can. And with that being the case, we've addressed that. But
you've gone for a lower density, right?
Well, there's some issues there. I think we looked at it and said that we need to look at the old plan and look at the new plan and look at calculating the density level by saying which of the two is the lesser of the two evils.
But what about the C8, for example? If that's going to come down, are you going to keep the same density for that lot?
Well, the board said no. What we did was tear C8 down. That takes 224 units out of the mix. It also takes another 64 units out of the mix because the developers had negotiated or planned on receiving, actually, a bonus of 64 additional units for having refaced to the facade of redoing
the C8. Take the density down that much.
288.
If the building comes down, something would still be built there. I mean, it may not be 224 units, say it's 150, but it doesn't take it down a full 224.
Okay, all right. Kate, what's your read on how you think historically this will be viewed, the contribution?
Well, John is absolutely right. It depends on how much the council actually votes to make as recommendations. The board, by law, can only suggest rather than dictate. They can't dictate anything. But I think that there are a lot of recommendations in the report that the council can take. I don't believe that they will accept all of the recommendations. But, that's their prerogative. But my take on it is that there was so much work that was put into it that, you know, as the planner for the developers, John Clark, said during one of the meetings, I've never worked on one of these things that was perfect. So if you spend enough time, and the amount of time that these gentlemen
incredible.
And ladies spent working on this thing, they were bound to be, you know, to find some things. There were some things in there, John, I remember we noticed this the first night of the public hearings, where they had put in there that they could have residential housing along the boardwalk on the upper floors of that, and you quickly informed us that night at the hearing that was never the council's intention.
No. No.
And it, I don't know if we can put any
when you say that,
I don't know, you know, with planners.
Can
you repeat that? Because when that was coming up, and you know, that had been caught earlier, and somehow that kind of slipped in there again, and I'm like, it wasn't just that. I mean, a couple of things slipped in there, like the time lot that certain buildings had to get themselves together and stuff. But I'm saying, you keep saying this, and that's not what was agreed upon.
You mean
that was just something that just... That
longer
just
periods of time than what got into the plan?
No, shorter periods of time. For certain buildings to get themselves together up and running, you know, before they...
Oh, they were supposed to be shorter periods of time. They made them longer?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I guess I misunderstood you.
Yeah.
They were supposed to have longer... In the plan, we're reading shorter.
Yeah, the planners obviously
that was a shorter period of time. And one of the things, you know, when you talk about, you know, lasting effects, one of the things that I guess isn't going to be remembered is that you had a planning board that actually did its job.
Yeah.
Do you know how long it's been? Do you know how long it's been since we've had zoning and planning that actually got there when something came, did exactly what they were supposed to do? I mean, this planning board met, they did it, they did the work. You know, and that's a great thing to have. These boards are very important.
And
I mentioned that because I harped on it while I was running for office.
but this is true. I'm not going to argue, John, at all on that point. And I want to point out something else, too, because people are listening to this show over the net from all over. This is going on with the UEZ as well. I talked to Tom Gilmore today, and he went down to Trenton to talk to the county. You know, I guess it was Mid Freehold. Talked to Monmouth County people, and he said that no one has ever approached them before. You know, about the entertainment. Yeah, at the county level. No one has been there. They always, you know, have been trying to get a hold of people from Asbury Park, and it was so disorganized that nobody got back to them.
There are a number of
things that are happening here now.
Exactly. There are a number of things that is bringing Asbury Park to the forefront. I went to a Monmouth County Planning Board meeting, and to the amazement, somebody from Asbury Park is coming to a county planning board meeting. And the intent of that was to sit there and let them know that we are, in fact, standing up, dusting ourselves off, and starting to march again.
Up and functioning.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny that you said this. I've gone to functions where when you stay up in Asbury Park, people have, like, gotten out of their chairs and
we haven't had trouble for Asbury Park. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. And it's going to take time for representatives from all of the boards to go out and let the rest of the county and the state know that Asbury Park is up and functioning and open for business.
Well, I think there's something to be said about that, and it, well, but I think that speaks to the new integrity of those who are on the various boards, that we take what we do seriously, because as Ben mentioned, there was a lot of hours spent. I mean, the first public hearing was started at 7-ish and ended at 10:30. The next one started at 7, ended at 1:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Then we spent the remaining weeks, 43 days or whatever was left, looking at this and tearing it apart. But I think, having said that, I want to just skip back a little bit in regards to C8. That integrity that's arising now, I don't feel was appreciated by the developers. And I'll tell you why. Because in the presentations made back in January, and the one actually made on the April 1st, as well as the mock-up model of the layout, there's no mention that they had planned on building or keeping C8 at its current level, 16 stories and 10. And if you look at the model, there's nothing higher than 2 stories or 3 stories, whatever it takes, on the entire structure, except for the northern part of the boardwalk. And that is kind of disingenuous to me. And not only that, but on page...
And I've heard this from residents, too, that they noticed that the model wasn't true.
It wasn't true to form. And not only that, on page 77, there's a chart showing which block will have which number of units and so forth, and how many stories there were. So you may have block 139, 2 stories, and they tried to squeeze 224 units on an 8-floor structure, and that was a misrepresentative. And in fact, they were still planning on building C8. And not only that, on page 79, I think it mentions that Ocean Mile is in the mix. So there are certain things that they don't appreciate in regard to the integrity of the city, and I think that's kind of disingenuous to the people.
Okay. That's a very good point, Harold. Let's take a minute to read off who else is on this board, because, you know, to give everybody credit, we have a very full house tonight, and thank you, Pete. Pete Walton supplying. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ben Schneider is the chair. Dan DiBenedetto is the vice chair, and I saw him there. Mm-hmm. Harold, of course, Gene Isaac, Robert Sanders, Sharon Saunders, John Lafredo, Terry Weldon, and Kevin Sanders. Right. Okay. Is that everybody? I thought is it Sharon Saunders, the one I saw there? Because
I'll tell you if there's 9, then we'll know. 1, 2, 3.
It was a black woman. I didn't know her name. Is that Sharon?
Sharon Saunders.
Sharon Saunders.
Okay. I want to go around and ask everybody what they think. They're probably not going to get past the council. What's the particular thing that you think is going to be snagged when you get to the council? Who wants to?
You're saying that now. My head's going through all the things that we had suggested.
There's going to be
a discussion at the council. Will probably be the sale of the public buildings. You know, there isn't total agreement either on some of the more historical houses. You know, there are people who don't even want them moved, and I don't see how that is going to be possible. you know, because considering the area where they're located. And the other thing,
now, well, you're most likely being that historical private buildings.
private home buildings. And the other thing, you know, when we're talking about the C8 building, the council had negotiated originally for that to be built. We let it go up to its original height if they pulled back
from
Berg Street and some other streets where houses were, that we would want to preserve these. We wanted to preserve these neighborhoods and bring it off of Ocean Avenue. Okay, that was the thinking there, and the second tower wasn't going to be built, you know.
So you anticipate
we're going to have a hard time. We're going to have a hard time, I think, with that one. But if it were my choice, the building would come down, and I know others feel the same way.
Now, why? What your particular?
It has sat there for so long and been so demoralizing to everybody. That alone,
just for the emotional
just
value,
that alone would be a big factor. And quite frankly, from what's going to be built around it now, and I was really saying, what's going to be built around it now, it's too small. It's going to stand out. And although, yes, it's going to be redesigned, and, you know, it's going to look, and you saw the pictures and how beautiful it could look and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, my whole thought is, look, if you're going to redesign that building, you've got to re-outfit it. It's going to be so astronomically expensive. Take the damn thing down.
Yeah.
But all those units' numbers now have to be spread.
And that, you know, right, but there's also, yes, I am, but there's also, you know, the 64 bonus units, which were taking that off of Ocean Avenue. Now, if it comes down altogether, well, they're giving you a bonus for it.
Right.
The building is down, it's no longer.
Well, I can think of at least one person, Julian Greenwood, who has to look at it every morning when he comes out of 611 4th Avenue, I'm sure.
I mean, but even when you throw down the shoreline from Spring Lake, you see that thing standing up.
I hear this from the Ocean Grovers all the time. Yep. Yeah, we look down our beach line, and that's what we see as Asbury Park.
Yeah. Last summer, someone referred to that on the boardwalk in Avon as that glass building in Asbury Park. Because they could see right through to the other side.
Oh, they thought it was glass, yeah. You know, I should make sure we get the voices clear. Now, you just heard Ben Schneider talking, and prior to that was John Lofredo. Pete, say something.
I'll say something. To get back to your question and continue this part of the discussion about what can go through, I think one of the things that the board recommended that we'll probably have a hard time getting through is not selling the boardwalk pavilions, because that was in the contract with Carabetta, which rights were purchased by Oceanfront, and I think it would be very difficult for the city to get out of that. They'd have to catch Larry and Glenn on a really good day to get out of that deal, because it really is, it's a key element, I think.
Well, it is, and should we start some screening? I wanted them torn down. When I was pitching the Homeowners Association, I wanted them torn down. I don't believe I think those things are ugly, unnecessary, and they shouldn't be there.
Now, describe what the pavilions are for people who don't know.
Well, the pavilions are the buildings that are between Ocean Avenue and the boardwalk, between just north of the casino complex and extending to the other side of Convention Hall. I always forget how many. There's like five or six.
So what's there now that people can zero in on?
The first one that you get is at Asbury Avenue there, and that's the current home of the Senior Citizen Center. Okay? That extends, that's between Asbury and First Avenues. Then you...
So that's a pavilion?
That's a pavilion.
That's what they're considering a pavilion.
Right. That
that's
is
what they're calling the pavilion.
We're calling the buildings pavilions.
You would have had them tear down the Senior Center?
No, I would have something else in its place. Now, see, those pavilions I'm talking about specifically, this was my opinion. And
okay.
Of course, nobody agreed with me. But I was saying, less intrusive.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying take away the Senior Center. I mean, I'm saying have a place for people to go, like on either end, and maybe something small in the middle. They get something to eat, right? You can have people go, maybe a bandstand, you know, that sort of thing. Other communities have these. I mean, look, I realize this isn't going to happen because nobody.
Yeah.
But my whole thing was I wanted to make it as low impact as possible.
I think one of the problems you have with the boardwalk buildings is the CAFR regulations. If you take them down, you can't put anything back, and that's a beautiful prospect, aesthetically speaking, but economically speaking, it is not really the best use of those properties. And, you know, for the taxpayers of the city who have been so burdened for so long here, the ability to get revenue from that prime property is a good thing.
Well, shall we debate this? I mean, you know, you have people who will drive down to the oceanfront. I mean, you have people driving along the oceanfront all the time, all the cities above and below us, to drive along the ocean and look at, right, and to look at the ocean. They'll stop someplace, they'll get some deed. That's right. And they have small pavilions along the in these places.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this during the our review of the plan. There's something I call the price for doing business. Or the cost of doing business, whatever the case may be. I think Pete hit it on the nail that the issue of the publicly owned properties remaining as such is a stickler because, for me, as I said before, these individuals, the developers, don't have to own these properties to make a profit. And if you told me they had to, and you could prove it, I believe you. But when you're looking at units going at a minimum of $250,000 a shot, and you're talking about building 3,000 to 2,500, 3,000 units at $250 a shot, you don't need these few pieces of property to make a make a profit. And my position is that if you want to come into Asbury Park and actually become a part of Asbury Park, then you have to understand the history of Asbury Park. So therefore, you can't come in here and just say, we have to snatch this, we have to own Convention Hall, we have to own the casino, we have to own the heating plant, we have to own all pieces of property between along the boardwalk and which is point, block 227 between Convention Hall and casino. We have to own it all in order to make a profit. You don't have any appreciation for the community or the integrity of the people who live here or the history of the community. And if you can't come in here and say, okay, by the way, I want to live here, I want to make money here, I want to become an integral part of the community, you can't do that, and by the same token, at the same time, turn around and say, oh, we got to snatch everything, we have to own it. You have to stop and say, okay, look, you know, if my simple math, a guy who cannot balance a checkbook, is this, that if you're looking at making $1 billion, and if someone said to you, look, I tell you what, you have to kick out, let's say, $40 to $50 million, in addition to buying the properties from the previous owner and whatnot. So let's jack that up to maybe $100 million. Okay, let's say you have to kick out $100 million to make $1 billion. I guarantee you any businessman who has a sense of business about him will say that's good math. But these guys want to come here and own everything. You can't come in and want to become an integral part of the community and disrespect the integrity of the community and the history of its people.
So the answer is please. And we have to go to our commercial.
Hold that thought.
Our sponsors.
In
a moment. And we're going to be playing Lee Sanna. Only love can turn this mess around.
We got Lee Sanna on.
He's coming on. Sorry about the mic. We're a little short on mics tonight. Okay, we want to say the hardware store in Asbury Park in Neptune City will actually call you when it's time for your lawn's next application of seed, fertilizer, weed killer, whatever you need for the greenest lawn in town. The hardware store is open 7 days a week. Call 732-988-3339.
That's the lawn guy saying when he's doing the lawn.
Turn this mess around.
Turn this mess around.
988-3339 for the hardware store. And interior designer Louis Navarette has a distinctive eye for the exotic piece, the right color, texture, even the fragrance to create the environment that is uniquely yours. Ben is waiting for me to start reciting Emil Zola again. You can reach Louis at From House to Home, 721 Cookman Avenue near Main Street, or call Louis at 732-869-1231. That's 869-1231. Or write Louis at From House to Home at AOL.com. And the downtown Asbury Park merchants want to say hi, such as the Insomnia Cafe, 620 Madison Avenue. And they're also on ResorRadio.com. Insomnia is actually hosting poet Trina Scordo tonight at 8:30 p.m. Poet Trina Scordo.
Oh, poet tonight. Trina Scordo. Okay.
Sorry about that. At 8:30 tonight. I think it's 8 or 8:30. You better go over there at 8 just to be sure.
Yeah, I think it's 8. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And she's introducing her new book that she's put together.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, of her poetry. So don't miss out. Call Insomnia's owner, Rainbow Room columnist Michael Libertor, for his hours. Call him at 732-869-9666. 869-9666. And ask him, what are those hours again?
They have good coffee there.
Very good coffee, and the granola is to die for. It's great. I love it. Okay, and now we're back. And
we are back.
We're back with John Lofredo, Ben Schneider, Pete Walton, and Harold Suggs. And
Maureen,
we're talking redevelopment.
I told you before I have to go.
Yes.
I have to go schmooze for Asbury Park, believe it or
not. Yes.
It's actually, it's a fundraiser for the Democratic Party, but before I leave, I got to say this. You have, I can't say that.
No, that was, there was some fundraiser for the Democratic Party. I was buttoning my lips.
Republican. What are you
going to
do? They sneak in
sometimes. That administration didn't help. The last one didn't help us too much. Let's not get into that.
We won't get into that.
But one of the things we got to remember is, let's not demonize people that want to make money. Okay? People come into this town and want to do stuff. And yes, they're going to, you get this all the time. And the planning and zoning is going to hit with it more, and it's not just the developers. I mean, there are people coming in here who want to do things, but they've got to go before these boards, and they're going to want certain things, and they want concessions from the town.
Sure, and that's going to be now for you guys to stop me.
Well, the zoning board, it's actually the zoning, and some of the things that come before the zoning board, it'll be yay or nay, I mean, right there with some of them, you know. So we just got to realize it'll be yay or nay right there at the board level, unless they go to court. I mean, if the board says no, it's no, and then they'll have to go to court. That's just different. That's another whole subject. What I'm saying here is, the people are going to want to come into town. They're going to want to make money. There seems to be this attitude out there. The people that want to come in here and make a lot of money, they're banned.
Yeah, no. We've been trying to get them in here. Hal's shaking his head. No.
I know, but
we're not
going to
have them.
You know, let's not demonize these people. Anyway, I do have to go. Am I going to be able to get out of here?
Okay, we'll have to talk about you though, John.
Well, I'm going to turn you
Well, then won't you be frustrated? Well, you can call in from the car.
Yes, absolutely.
You've got your cell phone. We saw you trying to get those tickets. Oh, by the way, the number is to call in, 775-0821.
And 775-6203.
Right. Or 775-0821. There we go.
There we go.
My ears were actually ringing. You know, I knew somebody was out there saying, why don't they say those numbers again? And we have the New Jersey Repertory ticket giveaway for the Dead Boy, Joe Pintora's wonderful play. He's a very talented writer. Raft of the Medusa was excellent. And we're giving away two pairs of tickets for Saturday night, 8 o'clock, that's in Long Branch. And we're saying goodbye to John Lofredo, who has to go running off to defend the democratic process in another way. With the accent on Democrat, sorry. Thank you, John. Okay, now, Pete, I wanted to... Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do. We have a winner of the
dance. Oh.
I couldn't find
her. You hung up on her. Well, we'll give her the tickets anyway, but, okay. All right. That's probably Rocky calling back, and we'll just get her phone number. Master P, you want to get her phone number? Hello, Bob hung up on you.
Oh, okay. Hi, Maureen. This is Rocky Galen.
Oh, hi, Rocky.
Hi.
And you just want two tickets?
Yeah, tickets.
All right.
And, you know, I don't know how much of a stickler you are. I live one block inside Ocean Grove, but I, as you know...
Oh, that's right.
...business there.
The consensus is not good.
So I hope I qualify for the tickets.
I'm afraid not. No, you can call back. You can try again because we're going to have one from outside the area for Sunday.
Hello.
But
okay.
Yeah, good evening.
Who's this I'm talking to?
Hi, this is...
I'm afraid I want the tickets for the concert.
We have three-way calling.
We got a three-way call going on.
John, and he can take me.
Now, who is this? Where are you from?
You want me to call back later with my question, Maureen?
Are you from Asbury Park?
She's Rocky from Ocean Grove.
Oh, Rocky, is that still you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you have to call back for your Sunday tickets later. We have to do the Asbury Park first.
Okay.
Sorry, we're going to be very anal about this.
I'll call back.
All right, but do you have a question for the board members?
I do.
Oh, okay, you can go ahead with that.
Okay.
Well, I love this power.
As you heard me explain, I do have an interest in in Asbury Park in a lot of ways. I have a lot of friends who live there, including friends who are in low-income housing, on permanent disability, and that kind of thing. And so my question for you is, given that the developers are clearly in this for the monetary interest, I guess I'd like to know what does the plan include, what is the council doing, what have you recommended that addresses preserving the culturally and economic diverse character of Asbury Park, which is part of what appeals to me with regard specifically to things like low-income housing, affordable housing for middle-class folks, which would start at less than $225,000 for new housing, encouraging tourism jobs for working-class folks who already live in town, to prevent a massive exodus of people who have been basically holding the character of Asbury Park all these years during the rough times.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Rocky. And who's going to take that one?
I guess I've been pointed at here. that's one of my major concerns in speaking to residents.
Harold Suggs.
About the community. Because basically, the redevelopment will displace anywhere from 700 to 1,000 people. And there's no plan in place to bring these people, or rather to keep these individuals within the community. One thing that's in the proposal is that affordable housing be provided at a tone or 5% of the initial number of the units being built. So if they build 3,000 units, they're going to give up 150 of those units as affordable housing within the redevelopment zone. But what the kicker is that the developer has also included in his plan a proviso that he can take the amount of money that would cost him to build those 150 units, which is approximately $3 million, and farm that out to any CDC that will take the money and alleviate him from having to build those units in the redevelopment zone. But the point of the matter is, this is the attitude that I spoke of earlier, coming to a community and not understanding the integrity of the community. You have a community here whose mean average income is about $25,000. You have a lot of single-parent homes. You have over 65 to 70% of the community is minority ethnicity, and you're coming in here and saying, look, you know, we'll give you 150 units, but by the way, if we can play it off and send it somewhere else by paying some farming that money elsewhere, we don't have to deal with that. And that's a major issue for me, because we have spoken about this, and unfortunately, in looking at the law, and I want to mention that John was correct, we don't have anything against people coming here making money, but there's a way to do everything. The law says that they don't have to, at this point, provide a detailed plan as to where who goes where and when. That has to come later on, and it goes before the public advocate for the state of New Jersey. But my position is, if you understand, again, the history of Asbury Park and its people, you should have come to the table with, okay, look, this may not be the full plan, but here's at least an outline of what we plan to do and how we plan on keeping at least a good percentage of those people in the community, and we're not going to try to play you off and not going to try to farm out the $3 million elsewhere. We're going to put 150 units in there. In fact, if we can, we'd like to increase it to show good faith that we want to be a part of Asbury Park as opposed to being ostracized and say, well, right. all you are about is the money.
Now, so what's the next step? What can we do about that? Is that the council that's going to deal with that, or what?
At this point, the planning board has referred the report of the planning board to the mayor and council. It is up to the mayor and council to review that plan and make...
As well as this affordable housing segment?
Which is included in the plan, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right. They will then have the opportunity to decide what recommendations, what elements of our report they're going to accept or not accept. Once that is accomplished, they will have to prepare a report. Okay? One of the things that needs to be understood is that the governing body has the option of accepting our report as written, modifying or amending the report, or ignoring the report altogether. The report was broken down into two separate chapters. The first chapter identified inconsistencies between the proposed redevelopment plan and the master plan of the city. The second chapter was, the second chapter consisted of general recommendations of the planning board, whether they affected topics that were inconsistent with the master plan or not. These were just things that the 9 members of the planning board thought were of such importance as to include in the report. Going back to chapter 1, the inconsistencies with the master plan by New Jersey statute, if the governing body decides to ignore our recommendations pertaining to those inconsistencies, they're required to go on record and state why. And that is critical.
Publicly?
So this is a permanent record.
Written record, public record.
So this is a permanent record, a paper trail of who voted against affordable housing or whatever. Now, did you make recommendations about what should be done about affordable housing or no? Is that in your recommendations?
The chapter, the portion of the report of the redevelopment plan pertaining to redevelopment housing was discussed in great detail, and by a majority vote of the planning board, that chapter was referred back to the mayor and council as written.
There was an interesting development that occurred during that discussion.
This is Pete Walton talking this.
And Councilman Lafredo was the one who revealed it, and he said he wasn't even sure if he should be revealing it, but he did, and it was a public meeting, so it's out there.
Which was?
A nonprofit called the Local Initiative Support Corporation appeared at a city council meeting about 2 to 3 months ago. That is a corporation that is headed by former Treasury Secretary William Simon. What they do is they obtain money from large foundations such as the Ford Foundation and charitable trusts, and they match local money that is devoted to affordable housing and renewing in urban areas. They currently work in several New Jersey cities, including Newark. They've had several meetings with the city council, and they've had several meetings with the oceanfront acquisitions people. And what John said at the planning board meeting was that they are prepared to match the money that oceanfront will provide to be funneled into local CDCs to improve housing, build new housing, affordable housing in the city. And
so that way the builders wouldn't have to lose money when they're building affordable housing, right?
Well, no. I mean, they already voluntarily said that they're going to either build units or contribute money equal to that. So it doesn't change that. But what this working with LISC does is instead of taking And instead of taking just having that many units worth $3 million in the zone or elsewhere, it doubles that money to allow the construction of more units. And one of the, I'm going to try to be more of a journalist here than give my personal opinion, but I think it's important to mention this, that many times before Oceanfront even came to town, there was a hue and cry in the community that so much attention was being focused on the beachfront, and no attention was being focused in other sections of the town. Here we have an opportunity for LISC to come in with $3 million, matching the money that the Fishmans are putting in, to be able to do something that's really good. Now, I don't want to get into my opinions too much about where we should and shouldn't have housing, but if you look at it purely from an economic point of view, to go along with that plan, has definite economic benefits. You've got a whole another set of things like gentrification and a community within a community, and that's a whole other subject.
Yeah, Harold wants to make a point, and we have a caller, so I just ask that we...
Yes, real quick. Two issues about that. First, as I mentioned before, there's an effort to building affordable housing within the redevelopment zone. So they're trying to farm out the $3 million to whomever and wherever so that it does not impact the number of units they're going to build in the redevelopment zone that they can sell at $250 a shot. So, again, that's one issue. But as I said before earlier, there's a way to do business, and there's what I call the cost of doing business. If the council were to be adamant about it, they would be looking at other ways. One, say, okay, now there's other parts of the community that need also redevelopment. Here's what you need to do. This is what you need to do over in the southwest quadrant. This is what you need to do over this area here, because look, again, you're going to make $1 billion. So for you to give up $100 million, $150 million, whatever the case may be, and go out and find matching grants, it's not going to cost you, because you can jack the price up on your units if you want to. Because you look at, as one person, and I think of all the people who spoke during the 2 days at the public hearings at Berkeley, one comment resonated in my mind more than anything else. One person said, of all the shorelines throughout the Jersey Shore, this is probably the only one where you can start from scratch in your building. Because everywhere else you're going to revamp.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, and the point I'm making is, if you use some creative legislative efforts, you can go out and find monies elsewhere to do things in other parts of the community, and you can say to your developer, look, if you want to come here and can be announced, this is what it's going to cost you.
Okay. And we have a caller. Thank you for calling in. Good evening. Welcome to Restore by the Shore.
Hi, Maureen. This is Sarah Ann Towery.
Hi, Sarah Ann. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hi, Maureen. Hi, guys.
Hello, Sarah Ann.
Sarah Ann is on the facade committee for the UEZ.
Right. I am very hopeful about this redevelopment plan, and I think it's going to be way more successful than most of us think it's going to be. And in that vein, I'm very still, I've spoken about this publicly, but I'm still quite concerned about the parking, public parking. I see that you have recommended constructing a parking deck at the transportation center, plus some parking above or surrounding the water treatment plant. I think that's a very good recommendation. I'd like to really endorse that. Great. But I'd like to also recommend that some areas, for instance, the block opposite the Berkeley Carteret, and maybe something down near the entertainment center, near the carousel, be reserved, at least given, put off until the last phase of the construction, because I think this is going to be so successful that parking is going to become a huge issue. What do you guys think about that?
Okay, thank you, Sarah. I appreciate your question.
I think that was one of the things that came through from the board's deliberations right from day one. I know Ben brought it up. He gave some great quotes at the meeting, calling it a self-inflicted death sentence, the lack of parking,
and that it's
going to strangle Convention Hall and the Paramount. Dan DiBenedetto, who's the vice chairman of the board, expressed about it. Harold talked about it. There was a lot of conversation about this matter. And the board did not choose to go along with Mr. Duane's public statement that they could consider and should consider that block across from the Berkeley Carteret.
Mm-hmm.
This is not to say that the council won't consider it or in combination with the developers, but that was a decision that they made. And one of the reasons they gave is that, you know, the aesthetic aspect of having a parking garage in such a crucial state. But, you know, the truth is that if you can build a nice-looking set of condos, you can build a nice
garage.
I agree with that entirely.
And I thought that you had lost your argument. You were trying to get them not to park on the Bradley Park area, and then when I saw the sign,
was that question pertaining to Bradley Park?
I don't think so.
It's just general.
Okay. I thought it was just the street side, right?
The issue with Bradley Park is twofold. One, it's an open space, it's an open park for the enjoyment of the people that live here and the people that are going to come and enjoy it. Two, it is an inconsistency with the master plan. The master plan calls for Bradley Park to be used for passive recreation, which is walking through it.
Not parking on it.
Throwing a frisbee around, having a picnic, sitting on a bench. When we get our benches, we will get our benches.
Oh, good.
The master plan of the city states that if there is going to be parking on a park in that area, it will be Atlantic Square, which is on the eastern end of Sunset Lake, and then only in very rare occasions, and because of the inconsistency of turning
of shrinking the size of Bradley Park to accommodate parking. It was an inconsistency with the master plan. Because of that, our recommendation to the planning board, to the mayor and council, was that Bradley Park remain in its current configuration.
Okay. Now listen, we have to jump ahead now to talk about, I believe that Pete said that not everything made it into the report, and there's going to be an addendum, and he'd like to list what those things are that were missing.
I can't tell you for sure that there's going to be an addendum, but I have spoken to Ben about this before to alert him to these subjects, and I'll let him.
But I want to remind people too, if you want to call in and talk to Bob, those tickets are still available. If they don't go to an Asbury Park person, they're going to go to Rocky from Ocean Grove for Saturday night.
One of the issues was that, in fact, it was Councilman Lafredo's suggestion that was unanimously agreed to by the board that it be recommended that there be no development on the Marine Grill site, which is the land at the eastern end of Deal Lake.
And that's not in the report.
And that is not...
Yes, it is.
It is?
Okay.
Well, sorry. Let me just tag on what Ben has said. First of all, there is several pieces of property that were made as open spaces and recreational whatever by use of Green Acres grant money. Now, the way, and I called down to Trenton and spoke to someone in EPA that dealt with the grants. The ruling is that if you take a piece of property, and I'll mention the Marina Grill, because part of that was developed as open space with the use of Green Acres funding. And the ruling is that if you use monies for that purpose on a piece of property, that piece of property can be used for nothing other than open space and for recreational purposes. Now, in regards to Ben's mention of Bradley Park, the ruling also is that if you have, for instance, 5 parks in the community, and you go before the EPA and secure funding for recreational and open space on one of those parks, the ruling is that all 5 parks come under the umbrella of the EPA. And the ruling, as I said before, that with the case of the Marina Grill, is that that piece of property, all parks, cannot be used for anything other than recreational and open space purposes.
Because of the Green Acres funding.
Because of Green Acres funding. Even if you only got grant money for one and you have 5 parks, all 5 parks are known as an umbrella. And that's for perpetuity. That's forever.
So
they
become protected. Now, what was the other items in that addendum?
It's not an addendum.
I'm sorry.
If there was one, these are the ones that might be addressed if the board so chose. The board voted to recommend that historic structures and ones that could potentially be designated as historic structures be exempted from acquisition and redevelopment. The way that the language concerning historic structures ended up in the plan said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, is basically state and federal guidelines should be adhered to when dealing with these properties. Well, that's, you know, no offense to the board or anything, but I have to call it like I see it as a journalist. That's a no-brainer because those laws supersede anything that are done on this level. And to say that something is exempted from acquisition and redevelopment, it takes it out of the zone. It doesn't let oceanfront acquisitions put its hands on it. And the board did vote that recommendation, and unless they unvoted it at the time that I had to go to the school board meeting during one of the board sessions, and Ben was at an American Legion meeting very briefly too. So, as far as I know,
is that everything?
That's all that I have.
Okay.
At the moment.
The chairman is
chopping at the bit here.
Ben wants to respond. You've got like 30 seconds to respond. I have to do the sponsors yet, and Helen's on the phone and wants to say something about parking. Can you say it in like 36.
With regard to the Marine Grill site, that was an omission. It was in fact voted on unanimously that no development take place on that site. What we need to do now is get the members of the planning board either at the next regular meeting or call a special meeting to prepare a document informing the mayor and council of the same thing. With regard to the historic structures, my position was that any historic structure within the redevelopment area or any structure that is eligible for designation as a historic structure should be removed from the plan. I think when we were typing it prior to voting on it last Monday, We got a little tongue twisted with the verbiage.
Okay.
The bottom line is that the intent was to remove them from the redevelopment.
Right.
And I want that to go on record. Thank
you. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your coming tonight, Ben. Ben Schneider, Harold Suggs, and Pete Walton, and Helen Pike. I'm sorry we're not going to get to you. I'm sorry. Maybe next week you could call in with that. We have to thank the hardware store at 428 Main Street in Asbury Park and opposite the Superfood Town Shopping Center in Neptune City. Their man, DeWitt, will repair your screens overnight. Fast, friendly, and helpful. The hardware store is 732-988-3339. That's 988-3339. Let From House to Home create the ambiance that you want for your home, one that will reflect your desires and your good taste. Call 732-869-1231 or write fromhousetohome@aol.com. And please tell Louis Navarette that Restore by the Shore sent you. Web streaming of Restore by the Shore is brought to you by AsburyPark.net, your source for Asbury Park news and information 24 hours a day. We want to thank Pete Walton for coming tonight. The downtown Asbury Park merchants want you to visit Sunny Southern Cuisine at 574 Cookman Avenue for the best in down-home cooking. And now Sunny's has live music in their elegant nightclub.
Good cat.
All owner. Yeah, absolutely. We all love Sunny's. Call Bill Wiley at 732-774-6262. That's 774-6262. Sunny's at 574 Cookman. And next week we have Andre Sabari. He's a portrait painter to the stars. He has lots of stories about Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix. And with him is Tony Palagrossi, who's going to be talking about the first Asbury Music Festival that he wants to make an annual affair. So tune in next week at 6 o'clock next Thursday night.
Everybody, tune in.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you very much.
Right. Loosen up your pulleys. You got them way too tight. Don't make the feeling just baby. It's a taste all night. I want to check your pressure. You need your pressure. Call me Mr. Hastings. I'm the one who called.